Good morning, everyone. Today is the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. God's presence is at heart of our faith and our life as Christians. And today's reading describes others' responses to this presence. Openness to unexpected people or events and a willingness to believe are required for us to change by our experience. We might listen, wonder, serve, celebrate, or share this with others. What really matters is believing that God will enter our lives and that we will never be the same. Please turn and greet your neighbors as we begin today's celebration. Our celebrant is Father Smith. Please stand and greet Father Smith. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Your readings can be found on page 655. Our opening hymn is 101. All are well, 101. Let us go to flowers.
Thank you.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abram by the terebinth of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing to the ground, he said, "So, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go past your servant. Let some water be brought that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." The man replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, 3 measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender choice steer, and gave it to a servant who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the three men. And he waited on them under the tree while they ate. Then Abraham asked, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." The word of the Lord. Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up. What is lacking in the affliction of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me, to bring completion for you the word of God. The mystery is hidden from ages, and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may be present, everyone perfect in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. In last week's Gospel, a scholar of the law asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus, good teacher that he is, asked what he found written in the law. The scholar answered to love God and neighbor. Jesus agreed with him and told him to put it into practice. Good lawyer that the scholar was, he asked for further clarification. "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus responded by a shocking story that forced the man, who was no doubt very reluctant, to include the hated and feared Samaritans as neighbors. Today's gospel follows immediately on this and asks, how are we to love God? Jesus's answer to this will be no less shocking. Jesus was an itinerant preacher and would have expected to be greeted by the leading people of any town he visited. One family would host him in their home and would invite the leading men of the town to listen to him. The women of at least that family would be expected to prepare a meal for them. As Jesus was prestigious, they would be expected to outdo themselves to increase their status within the community. Now, before continuing, we should note that this was a noble activity and should not be despised. Jesus is not making a general statement about sharing the housekeeping. He is saying simply that to fulfill the injunction to love God, we need to listen to his word, and that is more important than any other duty or condition. Male or female is incidental to discipleship. Luke is very careful to maintain parallels. Several chapters before this, Jesus said to a potential disciple, "Follow me." And the man replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Knowing, loving, and proclaiming the presence of God in the world is more important than anything else. That Jesus placed women as equal to men and were to be instructed and formed in the same way would have been shocking to his audience, those born Greek as well as Jew, as telling the scholar of the law that the Samaritan was his neighbor. The great commandment of God to love God and neighbor could be accomplished, cannot be accomplished without undermining the social structures of the day. As we look around us, we may find the same situation. What will need to be put aside, if not away, for us to be able to listen to God's word and to put it into a practice? We again call attention to the situation on our own borders and ask you to listen carefully to the announcement at the end of Mass. But there is still more to be said about the specific situation of men and women in the church, particularly the early church. As it happens, we will celebrate the feast of St. Mary Magdalene tomorrow. Now, we use the word feast a bit loosely, usually for any liturgical celebration of a saint. There are actual four levels of commemoration. Feast is the second highest, surpassed only by solemnities, such as Christmas or the Assumption. Pope Francis has made the celebration for St. Mary Magdalene a feast with its own prayers and readings. If you're interested in this kind of insider ecclesiastical baseball, you can find more information on our website, or it was in the weekly email yesterday. The point is that we acknowledge St. Mary Magdalene as the apostle of or to the apostles. She is found in all the Gospels, usually leading a group of women, and is always mentioned first. Also, she is the first in all the Gospels to experience the empty tomb and to bring this news to the other apostles. Thus, the apostle, one sent to the other apostles. In all the Gospels, it is women who first experience the empty tomb. Now, some commentators have developed ingenious theological reasons for this. I do not find them compelling. I think they are simply recording a fact, and indeed a rather embarrassing one. Men weren't there. Luke, always seeking balance, includes the story of the male disciples on the road to Emmaus. But however beautiful a story, it seems a little bit too contrived and convenient for me. It has been noticed that the women were there to perform a religious task of caring for the body of Jesus, and that this may have occurred, but it was simply a female role. Let's look at this for a moment. This week I was out with some friends, and one of them introduced me to a few of his friends. They were business people, so he told them that over the years I had merged a number of parishes and started a charter school. It was language they could understand, and indeed I am happy, and I dare say proud, that I was able to have the chance to do that. But looking back over 40 plus years of ministry, they are not what I most remember, or for that matter, what I find the most valuable. What brought me closest to Jesus and gave me whatever insights I have been able to pass on to you, was obtained by visiting the sick, especially the dying. For most of my ministry, I have cleared at least one, and before I was a pastor, 2 days a week to visit people in their homes or nursing homes or hospitals and bring them communion, but mostly to listen to them and quite often just hold their hands. That has been my empty tomb. I note that this is a ministry which does not depend on being male or female, young or old, educated or uneducated. It is simply being present to people. Isn't it interesting, however, that it is usually done by women? Now, I understand that many women object to the statement of a female genius or emphasizing supposed particularly female talents. Now, I'm certain that there are differences, but like Luke, I question how important they are for a vibrant ministry. The call of Jesus is still the same, yet I feel many Christian men have become Marthas, busy about many things. That is, women who have chosen the better part that leads to knowing Jesus. Jesus has left the tomb and is now found in his body, the church, most clearly and strongly in its weakest members, the poor, the outcast, the sick. Those who minister to this body in as literal sense as possible will be the first to encounter Jesus. Whoever they are like Mary, the sister of Martha, and have chosen the better part, no matter what others may say. They are like Mary Magdalene. They will be the apostles to the rest of us, no matter, they will have the most important message, no matter what we think is more important.
And ears open to the possibility of God's presence in people, places, or situations that seem mundane or profound for hopeful expectations, we pray. For hope when we are in pain or when we question if we are worthy of God's love, and for the sensitivity to encourage others who doubt that God exists, we pray. for migrants and refugees throughout the world, especially on our own border, we pray. For civility and recognition of the importance of diversity of opinion in our civil and religious discourse, we pray. For those who point to divine presence through the arts, science, or other secular endeavors, and for those who do not profess religious faith, but are just and compassionate towards others, we pray. For the sick and suffering of this community, who are especially endangered by this current heat wave, we pray. For our personal petitions, we pray. In memory of John and Filomena Errico, we pray.
Ever-present God, help us to be open to your presence, even when we are doubtful or discouraged. Yet remember, you chose to use us as instruments of your presence, rather than whether or not we feel worthy. Make us grateful witnesses of your united presence to you, and we ask this in Christ. Thank you.
he himself took bread, and giving through thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up."
Thank you.
sins and on our faith in your church. We graciously grant your peace and in accordance with your will, to live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you, Lord.
And with your spirit.
Please exchange some sign of peace. Thank you. Let us pray. We have been so well, Lord, with the divine sacrament, the perfection of one and all, and the passion of your Son. Grant, we pray, that this gift, which he himself gave us with love beyond all time, may promise us the salvation in Christ our Lord. We can see it for a few minutes.
Hi, good afternoon. We welcome visitors and new residents of Brooklyn Heights. If you are visiting, we hope that you will take the time to take a walk in our neighborhood before returning to your hotel or children's apartment. If you have recently moved into the community and are looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider St. Charles. Please speak to us or our pastor, Father Bill, after our Mass. Secondly, as promised last week, we have asked Catholic Charities of Brooklyn to suggest where we could best send donations to help migrants at our borders. They have suggested La Frontera Shelter at Laredo, Texas. It receives from the Border Patrol over 200 families admitted for asylum each day. The center feeds, clothes, and reunites them with family in the U.S. until their case is adjudicated. If you are on our email list, you will have already received information concerning La Frontera. If not, you can find it on our website. If you wish to contribute to this, you may do so online through our website, or you may leave something in the basket in the rear of the church. All money will be sent to Catholic Charities tomorrow. Finally, a reminder that we have our Summer of Faith Sharing series. One session meets at 8 a.m. in the morning, and our second session meets at 6 p.m. Before the 7 p.m. Mass. Thank you very much, and have a good afternoon.
This is when I usually tell visitors how to get to the promenade and to the park. It's just to come back tonight. It looks even better tonight. It's gorgeous. Thank you.